views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik. And because today is January 1st, 2018, I decided to dig into the vault and pull out a show I created for the start of last year. 2017, in the world of numerology, was a 1 year, which is the start of a new 9-year cycle. So it presented an opportunity for all of us to set our intentions for the time span from 2017 all the way up to 2026. Now, in the interest of time, I'm not going to talk about how numerologists decide what's a 1 year, 2 year, and so on. However, as a side note, if you're not familiar with numerology and you want to learn more, my favorite site is numerologist.com. And my favorite numerologist is Carrie Samuels, who also has a site, carriesamuels.com. Today, I just want to point out that if 2017, starting a brand new cycle, wasn't exciting enough for you, then 2018, which you would naturally expect to be a 2 year because it's following a 1 year, is actually an 11, which is a master number, giving it even more mystique and beauty and power than the 2 itself would normally give us. Now, according to Carrie Samuels, in 2017, which was a 1 year, we had to learn how to stand up for ourselves and to take responsibility for our own happiness. In 2018, your growth will be focused on your relationships. You picture those 2 ones and an 11 standing side by side. So it's specifically about being able to fully stand in your own power beside someone else, but in a committed, strong relationship with them. So if you want to create healthy and happy relationships, setting strong intentions for this coming year in connection with your whole 9-year plan is really important. Now, there's a lot more I could say about the 11-year, but for now, this show will guide you in how and why you want to set up longer goals than just a 1-year resolution, which we all know only lasts a month or less. And it can get you off on the right foot for taking full advantage of the next 8 years. Enjoy.
Since this podcast is airing not only at the start of a new year, but also at the start of a new 9-year cycle, I was inspired to share ideas for how you might use this opportunity to release, reset, and clearly set your intentions. Now, don't worry if you're listening to it 6 months into the year or 3 years down the road. It doesn't matter. All of this still applies with just a very little bit of math. In the world of numerology, when you take the numbers of any year and add them together and then reduce them to a single digit, you'll get a number from 1 to 9. That number and the energies that it exudes actually affects the year that you're in. This is really important because it means we are starting the next 9-year cycle. It also means 2016 was a 9-year. So it was a year of completion, of releasing, and basically working out any major unfinished business from the previous years. So take a look back now at the last 9 years. What all happened in your life that kind of came to a peak or changed course? Sometimes just sitting down and reflecting on that can start to change things for you and allow you to let things go. Let me give you an example of my previous 9 years. The previous 9-year cycle started in 2007. For me, in hindsight, this is when I started thinking and making the motions towards leaving my job with the school division, which I absolutely loved. It was a dream social worker job in so many ways. But I had this sense that I needed to leave it. And so I went and signed a 2-year contract with a self-publishing company to get my book done over the next 2 years. I knew that likely when my book was published, I would leave the school division and break off onto my own little adventures. In 2010, I left the position and I started on full-time as an entrepreneur. I wrote a couple books, started presenting on my own, creating my own programs, and I put my energy into creating an online business. Now, if I didn't sit down and really think about this, and if you asked me what the last 9 years had been about for me, I would have said about building a business. But actually, that's not true. You see, in 2007, when I decided to commit to writing a book and leave the school division, I knew I was running on fumes. There was something wrong. Because even when I would have the whole summer off to recharge myself, I found myself totally exhausted when it was time to go back to work. It turns out my adrenals were absolutely tanked. So I was starting to get sick all the time, you know, catch every virus and so on. And I was just finding that I was slowly getting weaker and weaker. So the universe at that time was actually prompting me to leave a stressful yet wonderful job. The job was stressful because I'm an introvert and I had to get out and present and do all these, you know, create all these programs that I had to put myself out there to do. And that was hard on me. So rather than just leave the school division, I felt I had to be leaving to go to something. So I decided to sign the book contract and I was really prepping to leave one stressful job to jump into another very stressful way of life. So in 2010, just before my book launched, I was in an accident. Suffice it to say, business building, out of necessity, had to drop on my priority list. I found this very frustrating at the time because I really wanted to build a successful business. I wanted to promote my book. I wanted to create programs. I wanted to be a success. And in my own mind, to be a success, I needed to create and match the income that I was making before I left the school division, but now on my own. So as it turns out, I wasn't really listening to what the universe was suggesting. Instead, I was still pushing myself to create something meaningful. Now, because of this end of the 9-year cycle, this is the first time I've done this, but I stopped and I looked back at the 9-year period and I realized that my main focus during that time really was on healing myself and on learning to take better care, recharging my batteries, knowing what kinds of things filled me up. I realize now I was being pushed not just to learn these concepts so that I could teach them to others, but to actually live them. Now, of course, I was an active parent during this time. Although my role was definitely shifting. You see, my kids at the start of the cycle were 11 and 13. So this is exactly where you start switching from being fully focused as a mom, where you make a lot of the decisions and you teach your kids how to make good decisions on their own, to being more of a mentor, hoping that you've set most of the foundation for them and now being there to guide them. I also realized about 4 years in to this 9-year cycle that while my husband and I have a good relationship, we were starting to drift. He was busy with his life. I was busy with mine. So we were starting to lose touch with each other. I shifted my energy without really realizing it at the time onto my relationship with my hubby. So in other words, with the kids, I was learning to let go of that which was really never mine in the first place, you know, making all their decisions for them or living their journey for them, stopping them from making mistakes, all of that, and then trust that all would be well for them. While with my husband, I was learning that love is an investment and it requires some conscious effort to continue building or at least maintaining while still trusting that all will be well. I share that with you because that's what reflecting on the last 9 years looked like for me. Yours will be totally different. That's okay and necessary, important. Yours looks like your life and mine looks like mine. But what I encourage you to do is to reflect back, breaking your life into major chunks. So, you know, looking at your kids or looking at your life partner, looking at your friendships, looking at your career, those things that are really important to you in life. And then notice how those areas have evolved over the last 9 years. If you have trouble with that, don't stress about it. The idea is just to look at those 9 years and see how things have evolved. So now let's shift to the next 9 years. As I sit here, you know, poised to start this new 9-year cycle, I obviously wonder at how things are about to change. And that brings me to the point of this podcast, is rather than set resolutions or intentions or whatever you want to call it, that focus on what I'd like to change this year, what if instead I aim my attention at the 9-year cycle and what things are really important to me? What are my areas of priority for these next 9 years? Because by thinking about where 9 years can take me, or take you in this case, and then working it backwards to ensure that your intentions are steering you in the right direction, you naturally start to shift your point of view. Plus, the universe already works in this 9-year pattern. So you're going to be using the energies that you're naturally surrounded by to help you get the most out of each 9-year segment, which means you have a much greater chance of really living the life you've come here to live if you do this. Stephen Covey referred to this as starting with the end in mind, and it was a key part to his 7 habits of highly effective people, only he wasn't necessarily tying it back to numerology. So all I'm doing is adding in another element and saying, wow, what if we use this universal numerological energy to really help give us a boost? So how might this look? Well, for example, if your kids are currently 5 and 3, then in 9 years, they're going to be 14 and 12. Wow. Teenagers, are you ready? I know it seems like a far way off. You are setting the stage right now when they are 3 and 5 years old for what things will be like when they are a teenager. So you're doing this anyway. Wouldn't it be a great idea to be doing it consciously and in a way that is truly building the kind of relationship that you want to have with them? So, what kind of relationship do you want to have with your child 9 years from now? Do you want to have one where conversations flow easily, where they come to you when they feel pressured by others, or maybe they're being bullied or whatever? Do you want them to know that you have their back no matter what? Or that there's no problem so great it cannot be solved? What about your relationship with your life partner? Or if you don't have one, where would you like to be in that regard 9 years from now? If you aren't in a relationship, or if you have a challenging relationship, then this is a good time to do some personal analysis on this topic. Do I want a loving and sexual relationship with someone else in my future? What areas might I need to work on to make that happen? Am I good on my own? And if so, how am I going to ensure my very critical need for connection to others will still be met if I decide not to have a life partner? What about health? Where are you in that department? And where would you like to be in 9 years' time? Given your current trajectory, are you likely to get there? I know this might not sound like a new idea, but in fact, for many of us, it truly is. And what's really amazing about it is because this is the start of a 9-year cycle, even the universal energies are ready to help you. So I'm going to show you what I mean. Most people who do not like the outcome that they're getting put their energy into changing their action in an effort to get different results. Now, this is one step better than doing the same thing over and over again and expecting the results to change. Just for example, if you believe you're overweight and you don't want to be overweight anymore, you might resolve to lose some weight. In fact, that's the most common resolution people make, is to lose weight or to be healthier. So their current outcome might be that they're carrying extra weight, or maybe they're lacking energy, or maybe they're not necessarily overweight, but they feel they're under-muscled. So they look at their current outcome and they decide their actions must be the problem. So they vow to make a change. They go on a diet, they buy a gym membership, they join a kickboxing class, or sign up for The Biggest Loser, or whatever. Now, a month into the year, or maybe it's 2 months, they catch a cold, or they have something stressful come up in their life. Their mother-in-law suddenly decides to stay for an extended period with them, or maybe something big happens at work, or maybe they lose their job, or maybe it's a positive thing, like they go on a winter holiday and they lose focus on their new action. It's too hard. They have to constantly remind themselves that they've changed their practiced way of being. Now, at this point, especially if they've lost weight and now they start gaining it back, they might decide that their dreams are too lofty. I'll never lose weight. I'm genetically predisposed to this. Look at my family. Or they might decide they need to lower their standards. They'll decide, you know what? It's okay if I'm 170 pounds because that works for me. This is my ideal place. I'm being too picky, thinking I should be 140 or 150 or whatever the number is. So to really create sustainable results, you need to actually go back to your original point of view and shift your perspective to make long-term, lasting changes. This is called a paradigm shift, and it has the effect of helping you see things in a totally different light, which can eliminate many of the blocks that you currently have on that topic. So using the idea of the 9-year cycle is a great way to shift your perspective, to tune into and release some of the subconscious junk that is getting in your way. So when you do a paradigm shift, it happens immediately. You change your mindset immediately. But the changes to, say, your body in this case aren't going to happen overnight. And you're not going to be able to change every aspect of your life at once. So if in your 9-year plan you identify 7 different areas you want to target, you're not going to be able to do them all at once. But what's amazing is that by starting the process in one area, you create a domino-like effect that often trickles down into every significant area of your life. So just as a quick example, let's say you enroll in a program to help you accept and love your body exactly the way it is. So you're learning about self-love, you're increasing your self-worth. And so from there, you just naturally start eating better and exercising more because you take more pride in your body and how you look and how things fit. You feel happier, and so you find you want to play with your kids more. And the more you're playing with the kids, the more laughter and giggling and happiness there is at home, and your hubby notices this, and the two of you start getting along better. And then this happiness at home kind of goes with you to work, and your clients are happier, your sales are up, maybe you get a promotion. Everything seems to benefit, and all you did was take a program to help you improve your self-love or your self-worth. So that trickle-down effect is actually very, very strong when you do a paradigm shift. Now, a word of caution, this way of thinking, it's not about focusing in on exactly how things should look in 9 years. It's more about capturing the essence of where you will be and determining where you need to put your energy right now to set you up for success. Let me break it down for you. First step, create a powerful vision. Here's an example. In 9 years, I am healthy enough and energized enough to do things with my kids. We have fun together. We search out things we can enjoy together. My energy is fed through my close positive connections with friends, a fulfilling career, being of service to others like volunteering, and a thriving relationship with my life partner. And when you create this vision, you can finish it off with a, and so it is, just to make it real and really cement it in place. So your vision might take you a bit to create, and you might find that you start out with, I want, I need, I will have, but then you can shorten it down, take all of that out and write it as if this is a fact. This is how it looks 9 years from now. Now, remember, you don't want to get caught up in the, I will be 140 pounds. You're not dictating the exact pieces. You're going for the essence. So I'm healthy enough, I'm energized enough to do these kinds of things. All right? So that's the first step. Create your powerful vision. Then you want to compare your reality to your vision. So to have enough energy and to be healthy enough to keep up with my kids, I need to change how I'm treating my body and how much quality time I'm currently spending with them, because they're not going to magically want to spend time with me as teenagers because I'm suddenly offering to do so. This means I need to value my health and take time for self-care in order for me to have the energy to do this. Now, I just need to give you a little warning here. Subconscious blocks can still be a problem. If you truly believe that genetically you're doomed, even though you've shifted your paradigm, this can still get in the way. Notice anything that comes up in the form of yes buts. So when you do your paradigm shift, if you feel a yes but, don't ignore it. Take note of it and then seek out help to actually eliminate those if you need to. Sometimes just acknowledging them is enough to overcome them, especially when you start going, okay, so what proof is there? What proof is there that this actually exists? Okay. But just be aware that those things can get in your way, and that's just the nature of being a human being. Another thing that I need to tell you about is sometimes you need a little bit more incentive to actually shift your paradigm. One way you can do this, a little disheartening but very powerful, is to look at the trajectory that you're on and think about, all right, so if I continue on this trajectory, what's going to happen? So in this case, you might decide, well, when my kids are teens, they might not even like me, never mind want to spend time with me. And I might be too sick and too tired to play. And that's if I don't have some kind of major health concern arise because of how poorly I'm looking after myself. My relationship with my husband may have deteriorated, and so it'll be a strain rather than a support if we're even still together. And while I might still have my job, I'll be miserable. Now, I'm not telling you this so that you create this doomsday trajectory. I'm asking you to really look at where you're headed right now and where things could go if you don't change. And this is just if you're having trouble doing an actual paradigm shift and coming up with a 9-year plan that truly is showing you evolving and thriving. Now, because you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to just trust that you're already there. You're already ready to make some changes if they're in fact needed. Here's an example of what this person might write down. The person I am in 9 years puts self-care as a top priority. She eats healthy and delicious food, incorporates regular movement into her life, and learns how to enjoy the great outdoors. She sees her relationship with her kids as a top priority and creatively figures out ways to enjoy their company. This is going to help to guide her because this is where she's at right now. She's got her vision, and now she's got, here's what I need to do in order to be that person in 9 years. So now you need to determine a starting point. In this case, this mom says, I struggle with putting myself first, yet I also don't really put enjoyment of my kids or spending quality time with my hubby first. In fact, I spend a lot of time feeling a bit like a martyr, keeping my house clean and going to a job that I really no longer enjoy. Her starting point, she might decide, is starting this year, I will learn how to put myself first. My number one drain is work, so I will open myself up to the possibility of changing career paths or finding a hobby that I'm passionate about. Maybe I'll do both. I'll learn how to eat well without depriving myself and setting myself up for failure, otherwise known as dieting. And I will find ways to enjoy playing with my kids that gets me moving around more. So she's determining a starting point that isn't overwhelming, that is just saying, I am going to really focus on raising my vibrational energy and feeling good about everything that I'm doing. Those things will have that beautiful domino effect. Now you break it down into your action bullet. Action bullets for 2017 for this person are learn self-care ideas and make regular self-care breakouts part of my day. Search out things I find enticing regarding my career or hobby and bring some of that into my life. So look for ways I can enjoy the job I have or start looking at different things I can do that I feel passionate about that make me feel stronger as a person. Learn about healthy eating versus dieting and 5 things that I could do this year to make positive changes without adding stress. Share my plan with 2 friends that I can trust and ask them to hold me accountable. It's important you do this with more than one friend because if one friend is a pushover, they'll just let you get away with it. Or if you drift apart, sometimes that'll happen too. You just stop talking to them so they can't hold you accountable. So share it with 2 if you can and really ask them to help hold you accountable. And then finally, celebrate reaching even the smallest of goals. That celebration part is so important. Once you've come up with your first step, check in monthly, quarterly, or at some other suitable interval to see where you are. And then use your 9-year plan as guidance to help you figure out and implement the next step. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.